Good morning, boys and girls. How are you today? We're going to do an experiment this morning. Do y'all like experiments? Well, we're not doing a volcano. That would be a little too messy. But in the scripture passage that Mr. Joe read for us, Jesus talks about how we are like two different things. We are like salt in the earth, and we are like light for the world. And one of the things about both of those is that they add something of value, right? So, we have some water here, and I'm going to add salt to one of the glasses of water. Okay? How many spoonfuls of salt do you think I should add?
20.
20? That would be a few too many. So we are United Methodists. We are Christians. And so we believe in the Trinity, right? Anybody know what the Trinity is? The Trinity. Wow, we need to do some work then. The Trinity is our belief that God comes in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have y'all heard that before? Yeah? Or at the end of worship, I always talk about how the love of our Creator, the grace of our Redeemer, and the peace of our Sustainer, those are three different ways that God acts in our life. So I put three spoonfuls of salt in here. I'm going to mix it up. Try to dissolve all the salt, right? I'm not going to drink it, no. Making salt water, exactly. Now, I'm going to take a couple of eggs, and I'm going to put one in the regular water and one in the salt water. Now, what do you think is going to happen to the one in the regular water? Explode?
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
No? Do you think it will sink or will it float?
It'll sink.
It'll sink? All right, let's see if it does. You think it'll float? Who thinks it'll float? Raise your hand. All right, who thinks it'll sink? Nobody? Okay, all right. Let's put it in the regular water. And, oh, sinks. Right to the bottom. All right. What about in the salt water? What do you think is going to happen? Think it'll float? Let's find out if I did enough salt. Ah, it floated. How about that? Pretty cool. So what happened is that the salt adds something to the water. It makes the salt water, it makes it heavier, in some ways it makes it better, it makes it so that the egg will float. And we are called to do the same thing in the world. We're called to be salt in the world, to make the world better, to add value to it. And in the same way, we're called to be the light of the world. You cannot have the salt, no. All right, so we are called to be salt for the world, to make the world a better place, to add value to the world, all right? You guys think you can do that?
Yes.
I think you can too. Yep. All right, let's pray. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for calling us to be salt and light. Help us to make the world a better place. Amen. Well, the day is finally here, the Sunday we've all been waiting for and anticipating. One of the ones that we look forward to most of all. No, it's not Easter, it's not Christmas, not Pentecost. Super Bowl Sunday, right? Yes, one of the favorite Sundays of the year. Now, today a big game will be played this afternoon, right? Between the New England Patriots and the Atlanta Falcons. Two of the most high-powered offenses this year in football and in many years. It pits Tom Brady, who's won four Super Bowls already, been a league MVP many times, one of the most prolific passers in NFL history. Against Matt Ryan, he's not really an upstart, but he's the MVP this year, a great quarterback. So two wonderful offenses, a lot of points should be scored today. But as the game happens, there's all this pageantry, there's the rituals before the game, all these things. It's almost as if it's a religious celebration, but it's not. People have paid thousands of dollars to go to the game. Many of those people wouldn't dream of giving thousands of dollars to the church or a charity, but they will to a football game. Over 100 million people will watch this game today. I saw that 30 seconds of advertising cost between $5 and $5.5 million. My goodness. But all the people who are there and many of the people watching at home are going to be cheering for a team, right? So my question is, how do you know which team somebody is cheering for? How do you know? Now, it's not just in their head. It's not just they've decided, oh, I like the Patriots, or oh, I want the Falcons to win. It's not just in their minds. It comes out through their actions and the things that they say, everything that they do. Some folks will paint their faces. Some will wear shirts or jerseys to support their team. Some will have those foam fingers that they wave. Others will stand up and cheer when something good happens for their team, or they'll yell at the referees when they make a bad call, at least that doesn't benefit their team. I'm a big Kentucky basketball fan. You should have seen me yesterday watching the game. Oh, I was not happy. You could just tell by the way I was folding the laundry while I was watching. It was not a good game. So that's how we tell, though, who somebody is cheering for, by what they say, by how they act, by the things that they do. Now, I'm not sure who I'm actually cheering for. I'm not a fan of either team. I will probably be rooting for the Falcons, but usually at some point in the game, in a game like this where I'm not invested in either team, I'll just have an emotional reaction to something that happens. And that will let me know that that's the team that I want to win. So, like, if the Falcons score and I'm happy about it, well, then I want the Falcons to win. If the Patriots have a great stop on defense and I get happy about that, well, maybe that means that I want the Patriots to win. But really, it's how I act, how that comes out that shows who I am cheering for, who anybody else wants to win. Now, you may be wondering, what does all this have to do with the sermon and Jesus' message? I'll try to get to it. So, in our passage today, it's a continuance of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus talks about how we are to be salt and light in the world. It's what we do in the world that shows which team we are on. Are we on the team of goodness and righteousness and peace and justice? Or are we on the team that is just for ourselves, that just wants what's best for us and not for others? And the way that we know that, just as we know whether you're a Patriots fan or a Falcons fan, is how we live our life, the things that we say and the things that we do. That's the whole point of Jesus' passage here, that we are to be salt and light in the world, in our lives, in our everyday life. Let's think about these two images in turn. The first is salt. Salt has been a valuable commodity for humanity for thousands of years. We use it to flavor food. For many years, it was used to preserve meats. We don't use it as much for that because, ta-da, we have refrigeration, which is nice. But it's been used for that for thousands of years. It's used in medicinal practices. It's used for mummification was one of the things I saw online. In fact, I looked and it said that there are 14,000 different products that use salt that are part of our everyday lives. Salt is all around us and it's important. And it has been for many years. In fact, in the days of the Roman Empire, entire trade routes and roads across the known world were built to deliver salt from one place to another. If you were a Roman soldier, you were given a salt allowance on a regular basis. That's where the word salary comes from. Salary and salt have the same root word. So a soldier would get a salary of salt every so often as part of their payment. Salt is an important part of our lives. We need it in our bodies to function, to regulate all our functions and do everything to live. We need salt. And salt just tastes good too, doesn't it? I mean, it adds flavor. That's the main thing that salt does. Have you ever had like green beans or soup or something that had no salt in it? Oh, it's terrible, right? You just got to dump some salt on there to bring out the flavor. I guess the opposite is also true. If you have too much salt, stuff gets kind of gross. I was at a restaurant the other day. I'm not going to name it so that you stop going there or anything. But I had some soup there, and it was just way too salty. I couldn't finish it. So sometimes too much saltiness is a bad thing. I think if we have too much, talking about Jesus too much in people's faces, that might turn them off from Jesus. But having the right amount of salt is a good and necessary thing. All right, what about light? What is Jesus talking about with light? Light is necessary for our lives, isn't it? Light is what makes the plants grow, that give oxygen to the world. It's what enables us to see and to move around in the world. I think back in Jesus' time, and of course they didn't have electricity. And so without some other source of light, a candle or a lamp, when the sun went down, that was it for the day. You just had to go to bed. I think about us today, and we have electricity, obviously, and our world and lives are so dependent on that. When was the last time the power went out in your house? Maybe there was a storm or something happened. People just go crazy when they don't have power, right? I mean, you don't know what to do. You can't get on the television. All kinds of stuff, right? Things just kind of fall apart when we don't have light and electricity. It adds value to our lives. It makes our lives and the world a better place. And that's Jesus' point in all of this, that salt and light add value to our lives. They make our world a better place. And so as Christians, we are called to do the same. We are called to add value to the world, to make the world a better place. And it's not just that Jesus says, oh, you're called to do this. He actually says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's not just a calling. It is a statement. It is a declaration. Jesus is saying that this is definitively true about you. You are salt. You add flavor to the world and make it better. You are light. You add goodness to those around you. Salt and light. Now, there are big, huge ways to do these things. But what's probably more important are the regular, everyday, normal ways that we do this. The ways in our families, with our friends, at our schools, at our work, that we add salt and light, that we make the world a better place. I want to take 1 minute, give you 60 seconds, turn to somebody who's near you, and talk about how you have seen someone in the last week or so, in your normal, everyday life, make the world a better place. How have you seen somebody else be salt or light in the world? You got 60 seconds. Go. All right, I hope you had lots of good sharing there, lots of ways that we have seen others be salt and light in the world. And some of those are regular, ordinary things that don't really take a lot of courage, but others do. They take standing up to something. We talked a little bit about that in our little group. The example I shared was my daughter, Becca. She was at home the other day, and she got a fairy garden for Christmas. And so she was painting some things for that, and, you know, she wants it just so. She wants it, you know, to look a certain way. One of her friends came over, Ainsley, y'all met here. And Ainsley wanted to participate. And Becca could have very easily said, no, you know, I'm doing this. I want it a certain way. But she invited Ainsley to come and to paint with her. You know, just a very simple thing of including someone else. But that was an example of salt and light in our house recently. So these can take lots of different forms, right? It can be comforting someone who is sad. It can be just doing something thoughtful for somebody else. It can be standing up for somebody who needs help or needs assistance. It could take all kinds of different forms. But being salt and light in the world is a gift that God gives to us, to the world, to be salt and light. Now, I want to close with this. We come to church week in and week out. Many of you are here every week, and hopefully you learn a lot. Hopefully you learn stories from the Bible, you learn about the Christian faith, you learn about the Trinity, maybe, maybe not. But we learn all of these things about our faith. We say the Apostles' Creed, we sing hymns, We say prayers, all these things. And learning all of that is great and good and valuable. But it really only makes a difference if it changes how you live your life. Having all this knowledge is good and great, but it really only matters if it changes how you operate in the world, how you treat other people, how you live your life. It really only matters if you are salt and light. I want to share a Bible verse with you. It is Isaiah 58. Prophet Isaiah talks about this. He says, "Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the thongs of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and bring the homeless poor into your house. When you see the naked, to cover them, and not to hide yourself from your own kin. Then your light shall break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up quickly. If you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness, and your gloom will be like the noonday sun. That is how we are salt in the world. That is how we share light in the world. In this passage, Jesus talks about salt, and if it loses its saltiness. There's an interesting word that he uses there. Moranthe is the Greek word there. And our word moron comes from that. Jesus is basically saying, don't let your salt become a moron. It's got to live it out. Anybody watch The Goldbergs? It's one of my favorite TV. The dad calls his kids morons all the time, right? So he says, don't be a moron. And so that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Don't be a moron. A moron is someone who maybe knows stuff but doesn't live it out. Be salt and light. Know all this goodness that you've learned in church. Know what it is to serve God, to love one another, but don't just know it. Live it. Be that salt. Be that light. May it be so. Amen.